It's Thursday, the 15th of August, and this is the Monocle Minute. Here are the stories we're following today.
My reference was to the fact that Australia has to answer to the Pacific. That is a matter for them.
Rising sea levels could swallow up Tuvalu, the scene of this year's Pacific Island Forum. New Zealand's Prime Minister wants action. Why the residents of Amsterdam are looking for ways to sink the illegal party boat industry. And Monocle's new summer weekly newspaper hits newsstands. I'm Ben Rylan in London. The Monocle Minute starts now. Nancy Pelosi poured cold water on the prospect of a free trade agreement between the United States and Britain yesterday, warning that it would not pass Congress if Brexit fails to protect peace between Ireland and Northern Ireland. In a statement, the US House Speaker said that whatever form Brexit takes, it cannot be allowed to imperil the Good Friday Agreement. In related news, stopping foreigners from getting their hands on a UK passport loomed large in the minds of many who voted to take Britain out of the European Union. The 2016 referendum result, however, has prompted the exact opposite phenomenon. Scores of Brits are now securing EU passports. Many EU member states have reported that the number of British citizens applying for a passport has dramatically jumped. In 2018 alone, Ireland received more than 183,000 citizenship applications from the United Kingdom, a record number that marked a 12.5% increase from the previous year. What's more, 2017 saw a 24% increase of applications over the previous year. And sustainable sneakers brand Allbirds is turning its hand to making socks. The company that made a name for itself with its super comfortable footwear is using the same Trino, a mix of merino wool and eucalyptus tree materials, to get a new footing on its customers. It's a savvy business play. The sock is the closest relative to the shoe, after all, and could provide a manufacturing stepping stone for the company to move into other apparel. Think super comfy Allbirds trousers and shirts. The socks are made partly from recycled plastic bottles, and they're 100% carbon neutral. Now to Amsterdam, where the summer months have brought a buoyant atmosphere, perhaps too buoyant, to the city's canals.
Skippering a boat in Amsterdam isn't perilous. Most craft are glass-topped tourist tubs that chug along like slow-moving greenhouses. But when the temperature goes up, so too do spirits. Now the police are stepping up efforts to curb drunkenness and antisocial behavior on the water. Activity on the canals was proving to be a bridge too far. Recent years have seen a rise in illegal party boats. An estimated 300 of them have ferried passengers around commercially without a license. Meanwhile, the boisterousness of people on the water has driven up noise complaints, which rose by 30% between 2015 and 2017.
Leaders gathered on the Pacific Island nation of Tuvalu yesterday for the Pacific Islands Forum, and climate change was top of the agenda.
Like our Pacific Island neighbours, we will continue that international call. We will continue to say that New Zealand will do its bit, and we have an expectation that everyone else will as well.
New Zealand's Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern wants Australia to curb its reliance on coal.
New Zealand, relative to other nations, has a relatively small emissions profile. However, if we all took the perspective that if you're small it doesn't matter, we wouldn't see change. My reference was to the fact that Australia has to answer to the Pacific. That is a matter for them.
The location of the forum is significant. Rising sea levels are encroaching on Tuvalu, forcing some residents to make for higher ground. Scientists say that the nation could become uninhabitable within the next 100 years. But Australia does not have a good record of dealing with its reliance on coal.
This is coal. Don't be afraid. Don't be scared.
The Treasurer knows the rule on crops.
It's coal.
That's Australia's Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, in 2017, when he was Treasurer, on the day that he brought a lump of coal into the Australian Parliament.
It's coal that has ensured for over 100 years
the Deputy
that Australia
Prime Minister
has enjoyed.
Energy policy has helped end the political careers of several of Morrison's predecessors, among them Malcolm Turnbull, Julia Gillard, and Kevin Rudd. But climate change is not seen as an existential threat by Australians in the same way that Pacific Islanders and perhaps New Zealanders understand it. Studies have shown that attitudes towards climate change among Australians are evolving. A poll by the Lowy Institute in 2018 found support among Australians for action on climate change at its highest level in a decade. The political obstacles, however, remain formidable. Australia is very susceptible to the impacts of climate change. You need only look at the annual threat of bushfires to understand the severity of the situation. Scott Morrison has a long history of supporting the coal industry, and he approved the construction of a major new mine in June. Australia may find a way of avoiding tough questions at the Pacific Islands Forum, but it'll have a much tougher time dodging climate science. To Italy now, where city dwellers spill out into the countryside for the hotter months, especially around the Ferragosto holiday today. But there's one place in Milan which draws the crowds well into midsummer. Monocle's Chiara Ramella joins me now. Chiara, when I think of dance halls, I think of 1950s style dances where everyone's dressed wonderfully, ties, skirts.
Quite. Well, I think there is a bit of a different culture of dance halls in Italy. I call them dance halls right now, but really the Italian word for it is balera. And the balera is that kind of outdoors place. Normally it's really just a bit of a terrazzo floor surrounded by a few kind of twinkly lights with a band or even just music playing. And normally the dances that people do dance are kind of couples dancing. So you'll have your polkas, your mazurkas. In Italian, that's called il ballo liscio, is kind of a bit of a grand term for all of this. And obviously, as you might imagine, polka and mazurka tend to be danced more kind of frequently by what we'd call kind of the silver set, but not so in Milan, at least not exclusively anymore. So the idea is that these baleras were essentially rediscovered by a whole new generation of younger people, many creatives, many people who work in a kind of the design and fashion industry. Maurizio Cattelan, who's a famous kind of Italian artist, started staging the parties for his toilet paper magazine in Sala Venezia, which is a very historic kind of balera and quite close to Milan center. And suddenly people just went crazy for it. And it wasn't just a case of kind of being ironic. People loved it because it is beautiful, it's kind of communal, it's kitsch, but it's wonderfully kitsch. And so another balera, which is the balera that we visited, Balera dell'Ortica, which is a little bit further out of the city, has been taken over by the daughters of actually the couple who managed Sala Venezia. So it's a bit of a family affair. And their evenings have proved incredibly successful because they haven't alienated the older crowd that used to go there, but have also started bringing in all this other new crowd. And it kind of creates this beautiful balance because the older crowd is happy to be able to teach the kind of all the steps and the ways of dancing to the younger crowd. And the younger crowd is finally letting go in a way that is not just kind of in a dark, dingy basement, but just out in the open, happily and freely, you know, with a bit less self-consciousness, I guess.
Having attended my share of Italian weddings, I think I can almost relate. Chiara Ramella, thank you. And finally today, Josh Fennett explains why the Monocle printing presses have been getting quite a workout lately.
It's the middle of August and the so-called silly season for light news is in full flow. Parliaments are adjourned, CEOs are by the seaside, and a fair few others are snoozing on the decks of boats and under the shade of trees. But no, not here at Monocle. Today marks the release of issue 2 of Monocle's summer weekly series newspaper, which is here to shed some sunlight on lesser explored corners of the world and accompany our readers through cucumber season. That's what the slow news August cycle is known as in the Nordics. We augur the future of shipping in Scandinavia, policing in the Netherlands, it takes place on boats rather than bikes, so you know, and take a fruitful wine tour through the Bekaa Valley in Lebanon. But our newspaper isn't just about frivolity, fun or bronzing. It's also a commitment to smart storytelling. We've long believed in the merits of sending photographers on assignment, reporting on the ground, and the capacity of pay-your-way journalism to persuade, to inspire and to nudge. So what do the stories of a Tunisian presidential hopeful, or what planes which presidents are stocking up on, say about the state of the world today? Well, you'd need to nab a copy to read up on all that. Cucumber season, not on our patch. For Monocle, I'm Josh Fennett.
That's all in today's programme. You can read and subscribe to our daily email bulletin at our website, monocle.com. I'm Ben Rylan. The Monocle Minute will be back with the stories setting our agenda tomorrow morning.